Hello, ladies. Welcome to the second lesson in our Titus 2 series. My name is Candy Meyer, and I worship at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. Our first episode was a brief overview of Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Our next few episodes will be a three-part series regarding the instruction Paul gives Titus for the older women to admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. But before our young ladies can love their husbands, well, they need to find one. So joining me today is my daughter, Breely. Breely, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Breely is currently 20 years old, and she has been in a relationship for about 2.5 years. She will live at home until her boyfriend can finish his college, and then they plan to get married. So the teaching of our young ladies to love their husbands and children needs to begin before they are wives and mothers. They need instructions early on to learn to be caregivers and manage their home. Teaching our young ladies to cook, to run a home, to learn about finances and budgeting, to know what to expect regarding marital intimacy, and many other essential qualities is necessary before they begin this new chapter in their lives. When beginning a new job, we all go through a period of training before being turned loose on our own, so this aspect of their lives should be no different. While there is plenty of on-the-job training that will take place, we are committed here to help them be somewhat prepared. Our home should be the place our young women begin their training. Their first step to becoming a wife is to find a young man that they desire to one day marry. Whether you refer to this as courting or dating, both of these terms represent the same relationship. I've always admired Breely for the mature way she values her salvation. Breely loves her Lord and has always striven to be pleasing to Him. This includes the way she conducts herself in her relationship with her boyfriend, Michael. I wanted to interview Bree because I think her values are something to be shared with younger ladies. Whether you are trying to train a young woman or you are a young woman ready to be trained, I believe Bree, even at the age of 20, has wisdom she can pass on. One of the qualities about Bree that I most admire as I watched her in her teen years was that she was never free to any boy that showed her attention. Bree had standards, and she was not a hopeless flirt. She did not compromise who she was to impress any boy. She was true to herself and her Christianity. Bree is also very humble, and I'm sure she's already very uncomfortable, so we'll just begin our interview questions here. So, Breely, my first question is, how old were you and Michael when your relationship began?
I was 18, and he was 21.
And what characteristics were you looking for in a boyfriend that you eventually found in Michael?
I always knew that my main goal was to find someone that truly loved Christ more than he loves me. We could turn real quick to Ephesians 5:25. And it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." This verse tells us that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And to show you how Christ intended love to be shown, they must first truly know Christ's love. I also wanted to find someone who was honest, funny, trustworthy, someone whom I could share my goals and my dreams with, and Michael met all of my standards and more. And what encouraged me was he had almost the exact same standards that he was looking for in a partner.
Great. How soon did you talk about what you both wanted or expected out of a relationship? Like, for instance, if you wanted children, how you wanted to raise them, what were your career goals you both had, things like that.
Right away, we talked about what we wanted in a relationship. Communication was always so important for us right at the start, and even now. He wanted to have a career before we ever got married so that he could support us. And I wanted to be a stay-at-home wife and eventually homeschool our kids, which amazingly was exactly what he wanted.
How did you go about setting physical boundaries in your relationship in order to keep yourselves pure before marriage?
We definitely knew from the start how important our purity was for the both of us. We made sure that we never put ourselves in situations where we would be tempted, and we definitely communicate throughout our relationship about where the line is, and even if something is not necessarily sinful, it may not be smart for us.
Right, very good. So the next question is here, due to Michael's college, you two have limited time together. How do you balance being supportive of him and his career choices and needing attention?
I can definitely see that when he does have to give up an afternoon or an evening of hanging out to studying, that he'd honestly rather be hanging out. He just knows that for him to support us, he's going to have to work hard and make sacrifices. And I know if I were to be upset or complain about the loss of time together, it would just make things harder on him. Plus, it does make me even more grateful for the time we do get to spend together, knowing that he's doing all of this ultimately for us.
Good. How does Michael already practice being the leader in your relationship, as he will be in your home one day? And how do you in turn practice submission, even though you are not yet bound to him?
I like to practice submission by basically asking his opinion on any of my decisions, whether it's a small decision or a big decision. And if it is kind of a big decision, like, I'll give an example, dyeing my hair. I really don't have to ask him what I should do at this point in our relationship, but I like to know his opinion. So he'll tell me if he has a preference, but other situations he will say things like, I think it would be smart for you to do this instead, or you don't need to be doing that, it's not smart. And then by practicing that already, even with the little things, it won't be hard for me to let him lead once we are in marriage.
Good. Brylee is our youngest child, so we already had rules set in place for her brother that would continue with her once she began dating Michael. We never left our children alone with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. In the beginning, it was that way because it was just not appropriate to leave them alone, and teenagers do not always make the wisest decisions. So I strongly encourage you to not allow your teens to be left alone in a home without supervision. Teenagers need boundaries set by their parents that are in control of their home. Now, once they became adults, they still live in our home. We continue to have in the same rules, not so much to protect them from sin, but to help support them in their decision to remain pure. Our grown children were at an age that their salvation was their own, and they would answer for their decisions, but we wanted to help them in their Christian walk. I feel it's important to explain we do allow them to have alone time. We just do not encourage them being home alone together. Older teens and young adults need time alone to have conversations without several pairs of ears listening. They need to be able to laugh and have inside jokes or just serious conversations that include daydreaming about their future. This is normal, and I'm sure they usually long for this time. Our children go outside and visit on the porch, and we will sometimes surrender our living room for them. But these are just some of the rules that we have in our home. We need to remember to respect our brothers and sisters in Christ and the way they parent. Not everyone will have the same rules in their home, and we need to unite and support each other rather than cause division by criticizing one another's parentings. Bree, why do you think you never pushed the boundaries your dad and I had set for you?
Other than the obvious reason being that I could never imagine losing your trust, it just would never be worth the regret, the disappointment in myself. I know, of course, that sin can be forgiven by repentance and a changed behavior, but knowing that I would let my Lord down, myself and Michael down, and both of our parents down, even after you've given us that trust, would just crush me. My desire to obey God and stay pure outweighs any of those temptations or desires we've faced.
I would like to say to parents and those in the supporting roles of parenthood, as you train your young women, I plead with you to keep the lines of communication open with your teens and young adults. Older women, be there for these young ladies and remember how difficult dating was and how many temptations you faced. Even though we train, pray for, admonish, and do our best to protect, we need to remember our teens and young adults are not above making mistakes. Unexpected pregnancies happen even in the church, so let's not pretend we're safe from this sin. All sin has the same consequence. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. We also read in Romans 3:23 that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So since we know we are all sinners and we know Satan is good at his job in tempting us and pulling us away from God, let us not be completely taken off guard when a teen pregnancy occurs in the kingdom.
And we do want to clarify, we can clearly see through God's word that this is a sin, but we know that we all make mistakes. We may not make the same mistake that our brother or sister makes, but we all struggle with different things. We must first be loving. We must be forgiving as God forgives.
Pregnancy out of wedlock does not need to be flaunted by any means, but these young Christians certainly do not need to be shunned if they have repented of their sins. We know different sins have different consequences here on earth, but spiritually speaking, they are all the same. If you ever find yourself in a situation with a child that has a baby out of wedlock, or you're close to someone this happens to, please reach out to them. Please do what you can to glorify God in your actions, and first and foremost, make sure that person is restored and then supported. To you young women and young ladies, I beg you to guard and protect your purity. You will never regret being pure on your wedding night. The burden of sin when having sex outside of marriage is so great. There are many consequences to this sin besides losing your salvation and an unexpected pregnancy. It is a peace that passes all understanding when you can go to sleep at night knowing you have glorified God in your relationship. I listened to a lesson on Toolstar the other day, and I sent it to Brylee to listen to. It's by Brother Brad McNutt, And I've never had the privilege of meeting this brother, but I think he delivered an excellent lesson regarding dating. The title of his sermon was Holy Dating, and he reviewed the Song of Solomon as his guide to walk young Christians through dating guidelines put forth by the Holy Spirit. So if you have an opportunity, listen to this lesson and maybe even listen with the young lady you are trying to reach and admonish. Breely, do you have any final words you would like to say to your younger sisters or to your fellow young adult sisters?
I would say Christ, of course, should be the center of your relationship, but your relationship is your own. Through God's word, we can know what our boundaries are for dating. However, you may struggle with some things that another couple doesn't struggle with. You may not struggle with things that others do struggle with. Communicate with each other. Talk about what is okay and not okay in your relationship. Keep each other accountable. You know what your struggles are. Don't make things harder on yourselves. The world does not value purity how God does. The world views purity as embarrassing. Make sure you view your purity as he does, a beautiful thing.
My final words to the older women, get busy in your congregation and your community teaching these young ladies. Teach a Bible class for teen girls. Have an open ear to any that want to ask advice from you or just confide in you. Be ready to give them sound biblical advice and to back up their parents. Be open to a one-on-one Bible study with these young teens and ladies, and always strive to set that example through your marriage. Our next lesson will continue to the charge of older women to admonish the younger women to love their husbands by speaking with my daughter-in-law, Geraldine Meyer, and she is going to speak on being a young newlywed and share with us some ways she was prepared by the older women in her life. And Breely, I thank you so much for joining me this time. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to these young ladies and give some advice and share your experiences. And Breely and I thank you for joining us and allowing us to be a part of your Bible study today, and we will look forward to our next episode.